Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, man, we had some heat in Michigan. It finally got summer, man.
Man, it was hot.
I love it, though, man.
Yeah.
It's that heat you don't have to pay for. Because we soon will be paying for the heat. It'll be here before we know it, man.
Yeah, just open up the windows and get that cool, good breeze in or air conditioning when you do use it.
Yep. Yeah. You know? Well, we got those days coming, too, when it'll be cool. And, you know, August get here. And then when August is here, man, it's all downhill come September. But anyway, I was checking out the sports scene this morning, and the powers that be are concerned about tampering in the NBA.
Ah, okay. super teams and duos.
Super teams. It's like, you know, it's highly improbable that given a period of time in which free agency takes place, that you can work out all these deals and get these players in the fold in that period of time. So they're saying that before the free agency market opened up, there was negotiations taking place. And that is considered tampering in the NBA. You only can do it after it opens up. But as well, you know as well as I do, the players of today are more in tune to, you know, there's not really adversarial relationships.
No, because like I remember, you know, who's that? Magic was like, he said, I see Larry Bird in the summertime. But he said, when I seen him during the season or something, I wasn't saying nothing to him. We could be in the same building.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. It changed. You know, I think it's just because of there's so much interaction now with players when they come out of college. You know, like you have the All-Star game and you have the summer league camps. And these guys, although they play on different teams, they become friends.
They hang out. I'll take it one night to hang out and have a good time with somebody.
It's like, okay, so you look at the KD, Kyrie. Yeah, so how do they pull all that together between Boston and with Golden State with this short window? And they're saying that they know for a fact that there was some negotiations going on way beforehand. And it probably was, but you can't fault the players and their agents.
No,
they're trying to get they're trying to maximize the system for the most dollars and the best opportunity to win.
It's all about their brand. It's all about the brand, not a marquee player, trying to say what's the best market for me to play in, how am I trending if I go here. You know, it's all the social networks.
It is. It is. So, you know, they're going to look into it, but I believe they're going to come away with the fact that it happened. We can't do anything about it. We can't basically prove it happened and maybe make changes going forward. But what's happened in the past is in the past, and they got to live with it.
Yeah, you got to live with it.
Because it was just interesting that they decided they would take a look at that whole dynamic around tampering in the NBA. Because, you know, Magic got fined like $500,000.
Yes, he was mad.
The organization got fined. And there's others that Doc Rivers got fined.
Yeah, because he said Kawhi Leonard reminded him of Michael Jordan.
Right.
And look where he at right now. Where's Kawhi Leonard at? He's with the L.A. Clippers right now. So Doc Rivers knew what he was doing going in.
Yeah. So, but then, you know, there was other things that went into play to get him there, right?
Yes,
making
sir.
The deal with who did he make the deal with over there to get him?
PG-13, yeah. Paul George.
Right, with Paul George. You know, so they had to make some deals to get him there. But ultimately, you know, this is where he wanted to go. And that's what it's about. Free agent. You're able to go wherever you want
to
go.
That's right. You can't control what I do. You can't control my life.
Yeah. So I think what it is a lot of small market teams are saying to the leadership in the NBA, you know, this thing is getting out of balance, where the stronger teams are getting stronger and the lower market, mid-market teams are just able to survive.
Do you remember these four? They're good friends. You got Chris Paul, you got LeBron, D. Wade, and Carmelo Anthony. When they used to get the summertime yacht, they used to get the big boat, and they all far for their families to be together.
In the Riviera.
Yep.
You see them sailing around in the Riviera.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So they've been thought about this idea and this concept. Unfortunately for them, they were never able to play together, those four. But Chris Paul put that in the CBA. He got that in the new NBA contract.
Right.
So he took the vision they had on those yachts and say, I'm going to make that happen for everybody else. And I wouldn't say he caught the bad end of the stick, because it's $172 million is not the bad end.
I don't know how you get a bad end with
$172. Yeah. So y'all are talking about he not being a champion or anything. He's a player union rep. He did everything he's supposed to. And he had 35 with $172 million.
He can buy anything a champion can buy.
He can buy. He can have all the rings. Buy all the fake rings he wants.
That's it, you know. And in the league, remember when he was trying to go to was it L.A.
Lakers with Kobe?
And they nixed
David Stern.
They nixed the deal. All
right. And gave it to Steve Nash and Dwight Howard.
Right. The league said no, you can't do it. So fair play is turnabout.
That's right.
All right. So they just crying sour grapes, but it was just interesting that they're even entertaining the fact that they're going to, you know, try to find some collusion and find these teams.
So, yes, sir.
Not going to happen. Yep, and then the other piece was the Lakers.
That's right.
Picked up another piece.
Man.
And they got one piece left they're waiting for, and that's a guy from Golden State.
Oh, Iguodala.
Iguodala.
So they, who's the piece they picked up?
Giannis.
Giannis, okay, one of Giannis' brothers. It's four of them.
Youngest brother, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I can't pronounce that.
Nah,
names,
I can't pronounce.
Man. But I recognize the last name.
I just call him
the
like.
Brought him in.
Yep, they call him, they call Giannis the freak, so I just be freak. So then I just call them Family Feud. Mm-hmm. That's them four together. It's Family Feud.
Okay.
And that's a real dynasty that's on its way and its making. Because I know before we went on air, you had said Giannis, the big Giannis that plays Milwaukee Bucks, he can leverage the whole conversation because he'll be up for his Supermax contract at the tender age of what, 24?
24. Yep.
Wow.
That's it. 24.
He could say, hey, if you pick up all my brothers, I won't take the Supermax. You could pay them and give me all three of my brothers with me.
Yep, and I'll stay. And, you know, potentially he could still get the Supermax and have, you know, still get him on the team.
If he wants to. That's what he wants.
Yeah, but it's still a negotiating piece that he has in his back pocket. Because, of course, he's going to get offered a great deal from other teams as well.
Man, imagine having a 7-foot center.
7-foot guard, yeah. Center, forward, slash wing.
His brother, he picked up from Milwaukee. He's a pretty tough defender.
Okay, so he got one brother in Milwaukee.
Yep, he got one. So okay. I seen that call. I was like, he got that one. He came from the Knicks. So I'm like, he was just hiding on the bench and just getting about 6-7 points. So now he's with his brother.
Okay. And this guy, based on what happened last year, I watched him after the game. I watched his acceptance speech. He is somewhere working on his craft.
Oh, yeah. He's
okay, the guy is determined to be better.
He's one of Kobe's pupils.
Oh, he is?
Yep. Kobe okay. Bryant, if you look at this, the free sneaker, it looks like a Kobe shoe. But he talked about a workout. I remember over the summertime, LeBron called him and D-Wade, and it was like, we're going to be out in Hollywood working out. Giannis say, LeBron, I respect who you are as a player. You're a good friend of mine, but you are my adversary.
Uh-huh.
And I can't be in the gym with you like that.
Really? Okay.
He said, I respect you, but right. He said, I have to learn to challenge you, okay. And I don't want to get that edge off of me.
Okay. I hear you.
Ooh, okay. I was like, LeBron, I gotta respect
you're
that, man.
You're on a mission, man.
You're on a mission. So then he said he worked out with Kobe, and before he worked out with Kobe, Kobe said, be here at 12 o'clock. He said, I was there at 10 o'clock.
That's right.
In the gym working. And he said, when I was in there, anytime we do a drill, I tell Kobe, he say, go get some water. He said, I had a water right with me, but I'll be in my notepad. He said, what you writing down? He said, I'm writing down the mindset that I have working out with you, because you say it's Mamba mentality. So I'm writing down how I feel after every drill. What is it? What's the intensity I need to imply? The things you're saying, because you're a 5-time champion and you played with Shaq and Paul Gasol and all these greats, and you made a transition just like me from Italy to America.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm coming from Greece. And he's like, I admire what you do. And he said, great. You're one of the best, and I want to make sure I keep these memories in this notebook. And I'm not going to share it with nobody else.
Right.
But I just want to make sure it's a memento for me that I work with one of the greatest players ever. I say, oh, that's the humility. He's going to be a beast.
Yeah.
He's going to be a beast.
And I think, you know, that's what these young guys is missing, man.
They need that.
And, you know, when you hear stories like that, it's like, okay, he get it. He understand that this thing is so huge that, you take time off, but there's no real time off, if you will, okay?
Yeah.
It's like he's not on no summer vacation. This guy is getting ready for January.
To be the man.
Okay. So yeah, that's great, man.
Yep. You're right. I know, and the last thing last thing in sports is the double standard between the African American athlete and the others. I would say other athletes. And the case scenario I'm coming from is Odell Beckham. Mm-hmm. I went to LSU. He's always in the media.
Yep.
Hairstyle, dancing, Twitter, Instagram. And they're trying to get him to calm it down. But then I heard some of the announcers, some of the write ups, they was like, Cleveland needs a guy like that.
Oh, come on.
Remember, LeBron is gone, remember?
Okay.
You don't have no market no more?
Take a look at our boy Deion Sanders and watch what he did when he came to a football team.
Before he came to a football team, I know you remember the story, and we're going to get off sports after this one, but remember when Deion Sanders did the 40-yard dash?
Yeah.
He showed up in the limousine with the primetime glitter on.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all he ran, and he said he got out of the limousine, showed up, ran to the limousine, and then left. So that gives you a concept of what it is already.
It is, man. You just, you know, you, as an owner, as a coach, when you get a special talent like that, you got to let him go, man.
Yep,
you got to let him be free spirits.
Throw that ball to him. Let him shine. Let him get that bring that energy.
Dance, sing, whatever it does to keep you motivated to, you know, to perform at that level, have at it.
Yeah, because if he's not producing, it's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's producing. He's not doing like a Terrell Owens when he faded
backing
in his career.
Up, man.
Yep. Or Chad Ochocinco when he didn't know the routes when he played for New England. He didn't know.
No.
He didn't know none of the routes.
Like, running
how
around,
you a pro, man. You don't know the routes. So we're talking about a guy that's a superb athlete. Hands like I think he cheating, like he got glue on his hands.
Yeah, incredible, man.
Some of the catches he makes is crazy. His mother and dad being former football and track athletes. So he has that in his pedigree.
Right.
Coming from LSU.
And he works on his craft.
Yes, he does.
You can tell, man.
I've seen some of his workouts.
Where he catch a ball.
If you watch his workouts on YouTube or whatever social platform you have, I mean, like, he fast balls. He's just,
so nothing get by him, man.
Nothing get by him.
Nope. So yeah, Cleveland need to tone it down, man. And let that brother go.
Yeah.
And clown, play whatever he needs to do, because he gonna put butts in the seats, and
yes,
that's what
is.
It's about.
That's
at
what it's
the
about.
End of the day. Yeah.
When you got people with an Odell Beckham jersey on that say the brown, I might buy me one of them. That's kind of nice. Those brown jerseys with some boots or something. I think that's pretty cool looking.
Okay, they haven't seen the Browns jersey with Odell.
Yeah. Yeah, I ain't seen one with Odell, but what he got, number 13 he had with them?
I don't know, Coach.
Yeah, but I think that'd be nice to have, disrespect him, because I like him.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, so out of the helmet syndrome, he got it, but hey, we know who he is, and that's bringing him money and followers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's a financial show, so hey, we talking about the...
No, it's about getting paid,
about
man,
getting
whatever
paid.
You do.
In your gift, I
want
to say.
Whatever you do, getting paid is the bottom line at the end of the day.
But what happens when you get paid... And you getting paid out of the government, and the president say, hey, I got to cut your payment off.
Oh, that was an interesting statement this week from the administration, and I do have some notes here from that. And it says the Trump administration wants to slash food aid to low-income families and make up the difference with a box of canned goods, a change that the Office of Management and Budget Director Mike Mulvaney describes in a Monday briefing as a blue apron type program. Don't think so.
No, I saw that food. That is not blue apron. I have ordered blue apron before.
Yeah.
Beautiful steaks, good food.
This is different, man. You know, it says what we do is propose that for folks who are on food stamps, partly or not at all, part of their benefits come in the actual sort of, and I don't want to steal somebody's copyright with a blue apron type program, he says. But instead of receiving the cash, he said it will help lower the cost to the government because we can buy at wholesale prices, whereas they have to buy it at retail. That means the consumer or the recipient. It also makes sure that they're getting nutritious food, so they're pretty excited about it. It also goes on to say that the Trump administration proposed cutting food stamps, is known as STAMP, by $17 billion in 2019. That's this year. And more than $213 billion over the next decade. All right? So he's also going after housing subsidies, Section 8. Medicaid, he's going after that. And what these, you know, what people got to understand is, you know, we got to have elected people in office that hears your voice. So this is what it's made up of. All households receiving more than $90 per month in benefits, which equates to 81%.
It would be up under an audit, being basically.
Which 81% of the SNAP households overall receives more than 90. Would begin receiving about half their benefits in the form of government-purchased non-perishable food items. These foods would include shelf-stable milk, juice, grains, cereals, pasta,
cheese,
peanut butter, beans, canned meat, fruits, and vegetables.
Stuff I don't eat no more. Okay. I ain't eat no canned meat no more.
But back in the day.
Spam by any size. I didn't know what that is.
When we used to get the silver and black cans. Ooh. And it had the USDA stamp on it.
And it had
the
cow.
United States Department of Agriculture. There was all these products that you have to go get. They wouldn't deliver it, but now they're saying they're going to deliver them, which is a whole
nightmare. Remember the silver can with the black cow on it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm having traumatized stuff like that. Open canned meat like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the proposal. Is that.
And number sodium, though. That's going to be a nutrition issue then.
Yeah. Because the sodium's got to be in there for preservatives.
Yeah. Kids going to blow up like a balloon, then.
Yep. So this proposal would affect 16.4 million households. 16.4 million. You know, I don't even know if it's that many. It's two states, Ohio, Illinois, and Michigan. Probably has 16 million people, but that's huge, okay? And the other part to it is, it's going to enrage the food retailers, right?
Yeah, they're not making
money. Walmart, Target, Aldi, they stand to lose billions if food stamp benefits are cut.
Because they accommodate. I go to Aldi's. I love Aldi's. I grew up on food stamps. We had them. And my dad said, this is going to be a time in your life that you might have to go through this series. And he always was like, when we was on him, he was like, we getting off of him.
Oh, yeah, it's temporary. Myself,
yep, he said, I'm going to give me a raise, something. We getting off of these stamps, right? So I was like, okay, right? So I go in the grocery store all the time. I'm always taking cash, and I think about that. But in the same capacity, stores like Aldi's, they really are, they're a costly store. There's not own cost a lot.
Nope.
It's easy in, easy out, and it's efficient for people that are on assistance.
Yep.
Fresh fruits and fresh vegetables, they right there, they're accessible. Easy meats to cook. They vacuum sealed or they fresh meats. So it's like you said, Walmart, places like that, they have accommodated this country. So like he's going after the tariffs. He's going after the food. Man, he's causing a major problem, Tony.
Think about it this way. Because of the tariffs, a lot of goods that we have shipped overseas is no longer being shipped. So I think part of this plan is for the government to basically take that those goods that are being farmed, turn around and use them in the United States in hopes of keeping these farmers solvent. All right? So we're talking billions of dollars that it's going to be wiped out, but it's going to be shifted to the farmers to provide these kinds of foods for this program.
I can already see the product right now that nobody don't want. A hamburger with soy in it. Because that's one of the gross products of America, right?
Yeah.
And they bringing those hamburgers out. They said, well, this is a good hamburger. It's a good hamburger. And they got mostly soy in it.
Yep.
I'm not going to name no fast food places. But they got soy in their burgers. A lot of places do.
Yeah. It's a filler. It's a filler. They use it in the restaurant industry because it's cheap and it's a filler. Okay? It's a substitute. And it's widely used in the industry.
That's right.
But I can see where, you know, this is going to probably happen. It's going to happen.
Because you got to look at the people that's abusing it.
Yeah, there is some abuse in everything, right? Yep. But you don't punish the whole group because of a few. That means that you guys haven't done a good job of screening or vetting those that receive the benefits.
That's right. Like when I was in college, we got them. Yeah. Man, that was the blessing.
I remember getting food stamps in college.
Man, that $300 a month, Tony, that was a nice situation.
That's the only way I survived.
Man, so I could see that going back. That could be helpful.
Yeah.
For college students, I think they would appreciate that a lot better, and they would be able to focus on teaching nutrition values to them. If they're going to get them, you got to come to this nutritious course.
Right.
You know, that's what I would think.
Part of the program.
For early adults, you know, that would be a good idea to give them that, offer that package. I always say that it's always a 3 to 5 year span. And if you have abilities that are not capable to get full-time employment, I understand, right? But when you extend 5, 10, 15 years in a certain bracket of an income, either you don't add a skill. I don't care if your salary doesn't change, but you got to show somebody something if you're on assistance.
Right.
So every time you report your income, you're still looking for a job 15 years later.
Mm.
Or you're still saying, oh, I'm not going to finish this certificate.
Right.
10 years later, it's like, well, you've been on this. We didn't help you out for 10 years. That was a lift up, not a We didn't. Not with a handout. Right. Yeah. So that's what Trump. So that's my argument on Trump's side. I see that. But then you just can't shut down all millions of people like that either.
No, no. And that was part of the argument, is that the economy right now is so robust. There's ample jobs available for people to go to work. And part of this process is to kick them off the program, which will ultimately force them to go to work for those that are physically able to work. So 16 million people is a lot of people, man.
Yes,
that's
it is.
A lot of folks.
That's a lot of folks.
Well, look, speaking of that. Enough for that.
Yeah, speaking of that, we got to go from Republicans to Democrats. We got Elizabeth Warren with her plan to cancel $640 billion of student loan debt. So I say, wow, that's a lot of money.
Yep.
I said, how are you going to go about doing it? Well, it's a bill they want to produce called the Student Debt Relief Act, right? And that's what it will do is they say it will cancel the debt for 75% of the borrowers, right?
Okay.
So I'm looking at that. And I'm like, okay. I believe in that. I work in that industry. I help people like that, right? I received an email the other day from a company I work with, and they were talking about being able to defend these people that's going after canceling their student loans because they went to schools like DeVry.
Mm-hmm.
And Everest, right?
Right.
And then those people been having hard problems. So they showed me that. So it's something called Borrower's Defense. And then we got another program that's dealing with disability. People that's disabled, they still having a hard time qualifying for canceling their loans. I'm like, after they supplying doctor stuff, the DeVos crew still, Secretary of Education, they still denying people.
Yeah.
They only accepting 1% out of the 99.
Yeah.
So then she said private. Now, what I like this, he said private and federal loans. Because a lot of times, private loans don't get no forgiveness.
No. No, and a lot, and unfortunately, only a percentage of those for profit, like the DeVry, a good percentage of those were private loans.
So then that's, and you know, when you look at those loans, Tony, I've researched those loans. They say that once somebody supplies the money for those loans, when it comes to a private lender, it's a millionaire or a billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And what happens is when they report the interest and on the tax books, whatever they gave out, they get double back in the tax
break.
So I'm like, if I give out $3 million, I'm going to see six. Because I could report it as $3 million in finance. Like, all right, I sent out a finance debt to these people, you know, interest, whatever the interest rate on a private loan is. So they'll give them six just for creating a business to help people.
Yeah,
I'm like, wow, that's crazy, right? But then I started being more towards Ms. Warren, and she said the racial gap. It's been a racial gap
when you're
talking about, especially from our urban core. People got student loans, but then you got some families that are not in the racial gap that don't fit a certain demographic. They never had to have a student loan, and they walk into a legacy where they just go to school for free, or
they got
already paid for, and they going right through the door, and they graduate with no debt. So when you graduate with no debt, you graduate right into home ownership.
Okay.
You graduate into, I might as well go get my master's. I might as well go into an internship. I might as well go overseas to a study abroad. Because I can use all those opportunities become available because you have no debt. You don't have to go to work 6 months after you go to leave school. Yep. You can say, I'm going to take a sabbatical for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go work as a doctor in another country for 3 years for free. You're like, what?
Yeah. Or teach school or community service in another country.
That's right.
Country.
So I'm building my resume as I go. But you saying you give somebody from my community, my demographics, a student loan and say, hey, you good? But in 6 months, you come from poverty, you got to pay this loan back.
Pay it back.
So they want me to come to Italy. Well, you can't come to Italy. You owe this much.
No. And unfortunately, the problem is that a lot of times the student loans are being paid back without a person earning the degree.
Man, that's the killer one.
Yeah, the 1 year, 2 years, maybe three that you've got, accrued this debt. But that never graduated.
Yep.
The debt still has to be paid.
And those are people I think that need to be counseled. They got a job and they've been working their job 5 to 7 years, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I think they the ones should fall up under that.
Yeah.
Help them out. If they didn't get the certificate, they did make an attempt at the American dream.
Right.
But it was deferred into something else. And they probably are homeowners right now. They're taxpayers. They have families. They're doing everything right. Somebody just led them into the wrong path and say, college is for you.
Right.
And it probably was a trade for them.
So we
probably failed them as a school.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. A community. And we led them to college and then they defaulted.
Just sign up for these, loans.
Yeah.
Rarely do they spend a lot of time on talking about how it's getting paid back.
Yes, sir.
All right. We're always talking about the benefits of doing it, how what classes it's going to pay for, your housing. But rarely a 17, 18-year-old student really understands the financial burden that they're signing up for. Another interesting dynamic that has come out of this student loan debt is I was reading some statistics the other day about home purchases.
Okay? Yes, I'm going to tell you about how that goes. So go ahead, though.
Federal, interest rates basically still at an all-time low.
Yeah.
Okay. And the housing sales has dropped.
They can't find nobody to buy them.
They can't find them, or they can't qualify because of the student debt burden that they carry.
Yeah. So I'm gonna tell you the algorithm that have to get you, that can get you qualified. This is the algorithm that gets somebody qualified for a house. So I hope people are listening. If you got large student loan debt, we talking about $100,000. First thing you need to do is you need to consolidate them. Then you need to probably figure out. So that means consolidate means you got 10 to 12 loans, Tony. Because you can get a loan every semester, right?
Right, from different providers.
Yep, from different providers. You keep on signing that promissory note and get that loan. So you could have 12 to 15 loans in your credit report with a 700 credit score. So when you sit in front of a loan officer, you got 12 loans. So what I'm telling people is, like, consolidate, get one loan, and then get an income-based repayment and make sure you've been paying for 2 to 3 years before you apply for a mortgage. Mm-hmm. So then you can get that letter that say this person should pay this much based on their income, and they've been paying for 3 or 4 years, and then in about five or six years, they're done paying it. When a loan officer sees that, it's a readily more approval of a home.
Right.
So I just give everybody, that's free 99 right there.
Okay.
So I just had a lady that just got a home in Lansing because she consolidated her loans. And we went on her website, we found that letter that said her loans were consolidated, and it was consolidated for about 2 years, and she was making the payment on time.
So
what they did is they overlooked that and said, oh, this is part of our income. She don't have to pay the full amount. They saying she's forgiven after so many years. She was a teacher.
Oh, okay.
So boom, so she gonna get that promise. She was only paying about a certain amount. It was a large amount of loans, but they consolidated them and they had a payment that was set. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, well, she got that. It's been going on 2 years. She's consistent. But when you don't pay and you come in and say, I want a house,
that's not going.
They're like, you ain't been paying. You got your loans in forbearance or deferment.
Right.
That's a hardship.
And now you got 10 to 12 different interest type of events going on.
Subsidized and unsubsidized.
Yeah. Each one is charging a certain amount of interest versus consolidation into one. Yep. There's one interest rate.
One interest rate.
Versus 10, 12, 6, 5, whatever.
Yeah.
It just makes sense to consolidate if you have that many.
So that was my little character to help people get over the hump of wanting to be into a home. So that's just how it works. So then this is our option she said she has. She said once you enter in a program or whatever you do with the cancellation, she said you get a year-long freeze. So they figure out, stop the earthquake.
Okay.
You got 15 loans out there and you ain't paid them. They about to be garnished or whatever. We're going to freeze you for a year.
Okay.
So when we freeze you for a year, we're going to freeze the wage garnishment too.
Gotcha.
This is Elizabeth Warren. Then she's going to look at it and say, third thing is that I love, because I qualify for loan forgiveness. Taxable income? Nope. I was like, wow. So you won't count as taxable income. So once you're done, you're done.
Okay.
I said, that's a steal.
Now that's unique.
Yes, that's a steal right there. And I say steal
a real tax break.
Yep, that's a steal in a positive way. So if you pay and you got they write off $50,000 for you because your income is under $100,000, which is what? 70% of America.
Oh yeah. Yep. Oh yeah, no doubt. You're right.
So then you look at she said, I say, well, how's it gonna be paid for? She's like, well, the 50 million people that make 50 million above, the super rich. So your MBA, your pros, your IT people that's in high society.
Yes. Valley, hedge fund managers and on Wall Street that's making $1 million a week, kind of guy. Yeah.
So then instead of cutting off those big bonuses, make them get into the country. That's still a tax break.
Give a higher percentage of their income.
Yeah, it's still a tax break. So you telling me I only made $42 million. Well, you missed $8 million. You making it up in interest.
Right.
And I'm not saying that. I'm not against nobody that's wealthy.
I'm working
on being there one day also myself.
Be wealthy.
And I want to give away $8 million of my 50.
Right.
So Elizabeth, when I get to the 50 million, call me. I'll give you 8.
Okay.
Happily.
No doubt.
Because I've been in that situation before. So
Warren Buffett.
Yep. So she wants to pay for it, and we were talking about. I said the perfect candidate to run with her as her vice president would be Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
You know, because
Bernie gets it.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're on the Medicaid. You know, as far as healthcare is concerned, and looking at trying to revamp that system. To say that, you know, everybody could just be under this government program, just like 75% of the countries in America that are progressive could do. It's no sense. You know, we hear horror stories about medical bills that people have to pay. It basically wipes them out, forces them into bankruptcy. And it shouldn't be that way in this country, man.
Because when you go to the doctor's office, what I've noticed being in my journey, when you go in a doctor's office, it's a new doctor, a new referral, you wait of a significant amount of time because they checking that insurance.
Okay.
They see if you got them numbers. They like,
are they going to get paid?
Do he got the Cadillac? Do he got the Mercedes Benz of insurance?
Yeah.
Or he got the Pinto?
It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is, man.
That's what they do to you.
Yeah.
So when they find out you got that Mercedes, they, this is going to be an introduction today. I got an appointment the other day. This is going to be an introduction today for this situation, and we're going to have you come back on, like, August 14th.
I right.
Like, wow.
It's like, like a gold status with a credit card, right? They give them more perks.
That's right. And they want to see you more often.
Yeah.
But they want to help you, too, though. So imagine if every doctor say, no matter who walks in the door, I'm willing to help them as if they're the Mercedes Benz.
Well, they were supposed to. They took the hypocritical oath.
Yep.
But that's not happening, man, because unfortunately, everything is about these dollars.
Yep, that's it is. That's what we about those. Yep. We're about helping people understanding what to do now about those dollars. The scripture today, Matthew 17:20, it says, he replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And my translation is that is, if you think you're successful, don't get in your own way of being successful.
Right.
Don't make a mountain out of something that's going to stop you from being successful because you are already successful.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.